Three Iraqi Sunni clerics have been killed and two others have been wounded in a drive-by shooting in the southern province of Basra. That attack took place when the clerics headed from the provincial capital Basra to Al-Zubayr after attending a meeting on preparations for celebrating Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary. Iraqi security forces have blamed ISIL militants for the deadly attack. At least 20 civilians, including children, have been killed in a mortar attack on a residential area in the city of Fallujah. Iraqi security sources also say ISIL terrorists have executed 15 civilians in the city. Sources say they were killed for refusing to join ISIL. Many civilians in Iraq and Syria have been forced to pledge allegiance to ISIL. Well, to discuss that further, and I joined Mr. Jim W. Dean, who is the managing editor of Veterans Today, and he's joining us live now via Skype from Atlanta. Now, Mr. Dean, you know, the context and the words that we hear always from the mainstream media is that this is a sectarian issue, that ISIL all began because of sectarian issues, but now we're seeing Sunnis themselves being killed for not pledging allegiance to this very group. How does that work then?
Well, with its proof, which is our main editorial line now, that this is not primarily an ideological or a religious group, which has been the promotion quite a bit, but this is primarily crime. These are big criminal organizations that want to hold this territory, use it as a base, exploit these people, use the oil, and you're seeing terrorism here on steroids. And now that the Iraqi government, their tactics are better. They're doing better combined operations. They're using their air support. Their better tactics. They're starting to roll ISIL up. So ISIL is getting nasty now. And of course, one of the other tactics that Iraq is using is they have the local militias, including the Sunni militias. So they're a threat to ISIL, and they're able to find out who the families are. So as a counter-terror tactic, they're starting to murder their families. And also they're thinking that these people might be giving information on them. So they're killing them in advance just in case they might be giving information. And this is a horrible situation for these people who have to be going through. And there's no easy solution because other than killing these people to stop it, it's going to continue to go on.
Right. So then, who does this narrative, this ideological narrative, a sectarian narrative, who does it benefit at this time? Who wants to see Iraq divided? Because I would imagine that is at the end goal.
Well, we're seeing from a historical point of view, the one country and the intelligence service that has more experience and more success at using ethnic and religious rivalries to divide and conquer is Britain with MI6. They did this everywhere they were involved. And of course, they had been involved in Iraq. And we're seeing this is being so masterfully done. Even the initial targets of ISIL, they picked the weakest ones, the ones that weren't allowed to be armed. They were at the bottom of the food chain on the budget in Iraq. And the Azadis, for instance, they were low-hanging fruit. So they grabbed the women. They're in the slavery. All these young jihadi men, when they get into a town, the first thing they do is round up the women and see who's going to get what. And now they're training the young children to replace the losses that they're suffering. They're thinking 5 and 10 years down the road. They're taking these people and converting their kids to future jihadi. So this is a monster. And as we have always been editorializing, this using terrorism as a destabilization thing is the biggest national security threat that we face. And Western governments have been involved in doing this up to their eyeballs, including several that are permanent members of the National Security Council, the UN.
Okay, we'll leave it there at that. But of course, as always, we appreciate you putting that into context for us. That was Mr. Jim W. Dean, who is speaking to us live from Atlanta.